Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Alberto Rizzoli. He has a background in AI innovation, training, learning models, machine vision, and today he is the co-founder and CEO of V7, which is enabling companies to train AI on their own internal image data, whether it's medical or natural or scientific formats. And we'll learn all about that today. Sounds very exciting. Alberto, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Thomas. Great to be here.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So let's start off by appreciating the problem. Take several steps back. Without using what you use, you have today, what you're building, what is the issue that people are having to struggle with? What's the big obstacle that is getting in people's way?
AI knows a lot about a lot of things, but it doesn't know how to do your job as well as you do. And the purpose of V7 is to build workflows that enable you to delegate all the parts of your work that you don't want to do. And it's easier said than done. It actually takes more effort. It takes significantly more effort to teach an AI to do your job than to just ask ChatGPT a question. And over time, as AI gets smarter and smarter, there are still many pockets of knowledge that are very specific to you or very specific to your business because they're know-how. And you want a safe way to give this information to AI so it can follow the right steps and ultimately automate the parts that we consider to be back office knowledge work, white collar work that keeps you in front of a computer doing the same task multiple times. And we started V7 in 2019 by developing these. At the core, V7 is a workflow automation company. We started it by developing workflows that automated the teaching of AI in these various image domains. One very large one was document understanding. We spend an ungodly amount of time looking at complex documents in the world, which is what makes insurance so expensive and healthcare systems so expensive. It's actually all this administration. The other side is on scientific and medical imaging. We're held back as a species by our ability to query this visual data because it can't be easily read by a computer. Whereas if you have tabular data, like statistics, you can, in seconds, make a correlation study and understand whether a particular drug is having a positive effect on people. But if you're trying to detect cancer, you actually have to teach an AI to understand and detect it in an MRI scan or in a pathology slide, and that's a lot more complex. And so we started by building workflows to automate this teaching and to enable medical device companies and banks and law firms to automate these parts of the visual understanding. 2 years ago, as AI became more powerful, we launched our second product called V7 Go that enables any company, even ones that don't have technical staff, to teach their AI agents to do this type of knowledge work. We haven't extended it yet to the full visual understanding of all kinds of imagery, but it's incredibly good at understanding documents to the point where an asset manager can give it an information memorandum, which is a 70 to 100 slide pitch decks with graphs and charts and diagrams and information about the team. And it can make a very good evaluation as if it were an analyst of whether that company should invest or not by following the same exact steps that an internal analyst would do.
So Alberto, I'm sorry, just going to jump in there real quick to make sure that we're all following this. I'm going to attempt to distill the big picture and then the small picture and correct me wherever I'm wrong, right?
Sure.
AI does lots of different things. It can write stuff. It can find stuff. All the different kinds of things that people use AI tools for nowadays. And you would love to be able to automate large swaths of your job with this. You would love to be able to free up your time, do the boring stuff. So if I say, okay, I have to put together a CRM, but that requires me to properly vet, go to the right pool of starting people and to vet them through my own process and my own knowledge and end with a table full of names and emails so I know which people I'm trying to sell to. And I have this process and it's hard to teach that. It's very nuanced and I can set up things, like you said, training it that takes its own work. Mm-hmm. And so with the big picture problem that I think a lot of folks can relate to is you're trying to set up an AI workflow. Tell me if this is correct. Okay, AI workflow, but you've got to train it. So this assists you somehow with a training. How do I get my AI tooling to the point where quickly and easily, maybe, where it can pick up some slack for me? And then it sounds like the more specific picture is you're dealing with images. But where am I off on the big picture of this workflow problem that I want AI to help me with my workflow, but it's time consuming and nuanced and complicated to train it to?
Exactly. It's complicated and it's nuanced because you have a procedure in your workflow that ChatGPT doesn't know about. And it's very frustrating to delegate work to an AI and it comes back and the work isn't great. So ideally, you want to create your own, let's say, ChatGPT that when asked to go and do outreach for podcast speakers or to tell you which conferences you should go to and prepare a lead list for you, it follows the steps that you have roughly given to them and it does it at high reliability. So it becomes the equivalent of an employee that you really, the opposite just leads to no adoption. It's a nice tool to riff with, but if we want AI to actually take care of these boring jobs, or technically they're tasks, they're not entire jobs, they're very singular tasks, then right. It needs to be very reliable. And our thesis is that every company is actually a collection of workflows. Especially larger businesses, the Fortune 1000s are just this large graph of workflows that human agents are both designing and executing on. Even the sales process of some of the largest companies in the world can be summarized in a 100-page document with as many edge cases as you normally encounter. If you're able to make AI follow these steps, follow the procedure, have access to the right data, and it's smart enough to do this job, then a huge number of fairly repetitive tasks can be done by it. And then humans no longer need to execute the workflows. They just become the designers of them. And I think there's a very near future in which the majority of office jobs will be about designing AI workflows as opposed to executing repetitive work.
Okay, so that's pretty profound. And so what is your solution before we get to the specific domain area, which it seems to be images, mm-hmm. specifically, workflows around that. I think I'm correct on that. The broader concept of what you're talking about is it's hard for me to train the AI work because of all the complexity that goes with it. So is this thing perched on my shoulder, watching me do the work and learning it and then extrapolating its own thing? Or do I speak it out and say, okay, this is how I do it, or watch me do it, I'm a screen share. How is it able to get, or is it just reading? Here's 1,000 documents that no human would ever want to read, but it really deeply explains this proper workflow. Read that, AI, and then come away with your distillation with what that workflow is. How are you achieving it? What path are you using logically to where the computer can get to this?
Yeah, so V7 transformed the sort of UI of a typical workflow, if you can imagine it as a section of nodes connected by arrows, like you would see on Zapier, into something that is a bit more AI native, which is a spreadsheet. And people generally don't love spreadsheets, but they're incredibly powerful. And if you think of it as a table, effectively, of cells, where every cell is a step of a workflow, and every column is the prompt or the stage and the rule sets of it, then you can effectively define almost an infinite set of flows that the AI should take. And the starting point is usually an input document. And that can be an image, it can be a PDF with a lot of images in it. It can be an entire case of, say, an insurance or a health insurance case. The output on the other side is a report in Word, is pushing data into Salesforce, it's creating a presentation. But the steps to go from input to output can be quite complex, and it can't just be done in one prompt where it's like, hey, take this insurance case and produce an outcome for me. It's more complicated than that. Some of them can span more than 120 steps. Like when we are processing LPA agreements, which is what funds of funds will process in order to make investments into smaller funds, there's a lot of analyst work that goes in there. And they need to read data that is by and large textual, but also contains lots of visual elements, tables, information that is encoded into a PDF or sometimes into TIFF files. And a huge amount of human time is being spent on these workflows that are locked in this non-machine readable data. We made it machine readable and we allowed these AIs to turn that into information that you can then share with the world, like an end report on this very complex case that I'm working on, a brochure for this building that we're trying to sell with its images and its diagrams from an input of a whole bunch of sparse, unstructured documents about it. And so once again, it's turning this input into a workflow that then consistently produces an output that looks as good as something that you would do as a human being, not just an API call to a different piece of software, but a complete piece of work.
Gotcha. And so if I'm a company that says I want to become AI efficient in this age, I'm doing a basically digital transformation, but with AI, can I jump in and start using V7? And is this mainly for the use case of image oriented stuff? Is that correct? Or is this generalized?
We consider a document to be any form of unstructured data. And ultimately, the way AI reads documents is visually. And so it needs to translate that information. Like OCR is one of the most basic ways of extracting data from documents. But nowadays, foundation models use more sophisticated techniques. And they take into account the layout, the relative position of information, the key value pairs of it, as well as obviously the pixel information of a photograph or an image. And we're now at a point where we're not restricted by any format of input. You can even feed a video into V7 and ask it to give you an appraisal of a building, for example. But the important part is the workflow steps that you can use in order to achieve your output. And when we first started with V7 Go 2 years ago, we were in a fully PLG system, and then we moved on to sales-led growth instead of product-led growth. And now we're in the process of moving back into product-led growth because I think the space of AI has matured enough that there's a lot more confidence in it. And people no longer require handholding, even on things like prompting. And the enabling factor for that is having someone in the team who is in charge of AI efficiency, of the implementation of AI tools, which is actually quite rare. In startups, it's quite common because they're trying to spend as little as possible of their capital in order to grow. But in larger companies, it's quite risky to replace any process with AI. And so it was a bit of a slower burn. And now that there are individuals that are in charge of this implementation, they're looking for tools like V7 to take an internal process and turn it into an AI-driven one.
All right. So someone works at a big company. They're trying to automate a certain workflow or a handful of workflows. They've got a mountain of PDFs that no one ever reads, and maybe even physical documents and videos and things stored on LMSs and things outside the LMS and all of this stuff. And that's the input is going to come from that. So they dump in some of the stuff that they think they mostly relevant, tangentially relevant. And then what gets spit out of V7 for that person?
Whatever that person desires to be the output, most commonly it tends to either be a populating system of record. Hey, get all the information about this client and update Salesforce so that like the information is actually correct and up to date. That's one case. Another one is, hey, I received this confidential information memorandum, this pitch deck that's very large and detailed. Prepare an investment memo for me as if you were me that I can show to the EIC, to the investment committee. And that is usually a 5-slider that summarizes all the key points in the thesis of the company. And it's easier said than done because like for AI to emulate you, it needs to understand the business very well. And that's what V7 allows you to do, is to give it specific instructions and give it a mountain of guidelines that it can follow in order to actually do your work. And then another common output format is the other document types that people generally share. So something like a PowerPoint presentation. And behind all of these things, there is what we call visual grounding. So the information that is presented in the output is always grounded somewhere in the input as a source, and you can trace it back. So it's information that is often better documented than what humans do, because we generally trust humans to be truthful about what they say. And here we're forcing the AI to always find a very reliable source, and it has to also find it visually. So it needs to look at a page in a document and make a box exactly where it found that information, not just giving you the page source, so that it, again, it increases this level of accuracy and it prevents it from being able to hallucinate.
Gotcha. And so I think it's probably better to use V7 than it is to use something generic like ChatGPT or to use Gemini. But could you explain to me and the audience why V7 than just going to a generic AI?
So I use ChatGPT every day. And the reason why it's so good is that for any 0-to-1 process, it's the quickest way to get a satisfying answer back. And it usually does half of what you're looking to do right away, even for something quite complex. I use that as a calculator. Like rather than doing something too common, I just write in natural language my calculation. It's going to figure out how to do it for me. It's fantastic. If I'm doing the same thing more than 5 times a week, though, it starts to become frustrating because you are getting a different answer each time. You might not be getting something as thorough as if you were to do the process yourself. And so that's one case, is like this high repeatability. And I'll give you an example in practical V7 terms. We work with companies that process millions of documents, and they need a very consistent output each time because it needs to go downstream into, say, a Databricks or a data warehouse. So for that, you need a very consistent workflow system for it. On the other side, you sometimes also want something that can't be encompassed in a single prompt. Prompts decay in quality the bigger they get, generally because AI is trained on question answer pairs. So if you ask AI to evaluate this pitch deck, it's going to give you a very satisfying answer because the prompt is short and you give it freedom to look at into the right things. But if you give it 20 pages of investment guidelines on how to evaluate a company with different goals and different criteria for scoring it, it will give you a terrible answer. And the way you actually do it is you have to build a step-by-step workflow where it first looks at its financials. It looks at the information on the financials and it focuses all of its context, all of its attention to one task at a time. And that's the best way to get really high performance out of these AI models. The cost of it, obviously, is that you need to spend more time in setting up this workflow. So the trade-off tends to be, is this something that's saving you 2 hours a week, or it's saving the company 2 hours a week per person, even better? Then you can justify investing a couple of hours into developing a workflow to get this done. And over time, people tend to update them and improve them over time and expand their capabilities and building agents that work with these other agents. And then all of a sudden you have an entire mini back office that is working for you. And that's what we want people to feel.
Nice. Okay. So how do people get started with V7?
They can go on v7labs.com or contact me at alberto@v7labs.com. Especially the next time you're in front of a very long document, a spreadsheet, something complex with imagery diagrams that you're looking to evaluate, think of us and send us a demo message. And we'll show you what it can do directly on your data if you wish to, and it's going to work right away.
And one clarification for the audience, when I kept saying images earlier, I was going off of some of the marketing copy, but images just means anything. It just means documents. It just means like data that, you know, might be on a sheet. It's not like literally just images. I don't want people to think it's the wrong thing and then not think it applies to them.
We also have a product that we're very well known for called V7 Darwin that is for developing core image processing models, but it's far more scientific. And if someone's in the audience and is in that industry, they probably know about us already. And so you need to be a scientist to build a model from scratch with V7 Darwin, but you can be anyone to build it with V7 Go to understand these images, documents, and diagrams without creating something that is completely brand new and pushing the limits of today's research.
Excellent. Alberto Rizzoli, we've learned so much today. It's been a pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Thomas. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.